The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Majority of practicing Irish Catholics favour the ordination of women, marriage for priests who want it, greater roles for divorced and remarried women, and more respect for LGBTQI plus communities. Results from the Synodal Pathway, which began in Ireland last October, have been released online. They make for interesting reading. Representatives of Catholic dioceses across Ireland will meet tomorrow to discuss the feedback from their parishes. We'll speak in just a minute with Father Tony Flannery and with Sarah McDevitt, but first, Bishop of Limerick, Brendan Leahy, who is the Vice Chair of the Synodal Pathway in Ireland. Brendan Leahy, good morning.
Good morning to you, Jonathan.
It's fairly clear what Catholics want here. I mean, let's just deal with the issue of ordination. 96% of people consulted favoured the ordination of women. Do you agree with them?
Well, first and foremost, the great thing is that there has been this enormous consultation, mind you, much more yet to be done. The big issue is this, we have heard it loud and clear, the issue of women's role and women involved in decision-making the church, more greater visibility roles in the church. That's come across loud and clear from everybody. After that, we have to drill down into the how and the where of all of that. But that's something we will be doing as we move forward. So yes, these are important voices to hear, and it's good for us to have this moment.
Mm. The problem, though, is the church has been accused previously of being a little deaf to what perhaps the flock want. It's been more to do with what the hierarchy think they want. If you don't act on this, I mean, you are facing an existential crisis in the Catholic Church.
Well, it is true to say we've always been working together. Maybe that's true. In times we haven't always fully actually worked synodally in that word. The word synod means journeying together. Perhaps we haven't all done that sufficiently. But this is something new. We're all trying a new way now to be much more together, trying to understand what God wants for us. That is an exercise, however, I think we all have to admit we have to learn it a bit better. That's true for everybody, not just the hierarchy, but also the hierarchy indeed. Existential crisis is true, but that's always been the life of the church. You know, John Henry Newman has a very famous sentence, the church is always dying, the church is always rising. That's part and parcel of our life.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is a particular challenge if you do not have priests. It is a far bigger crisis than at any stage in the history of the church going back 2,000 years. If you do not have those in sufficient number to minister to the needs of the population, then the church faces a much bigger problem. One potential solution is women being ordained as priests and as deacons. Are you personally in favour of that?
Very much so in favour of all of us trying to work out together what way women can be more involved directly in the life of the church. Priesthood is a specific thing. It's a priesthood. It's a sacrament, I should say. Now, we have to understand what sacrament is.
Women take sacraments all the time, Brendan Leahy. Why should they be excluded from the one that is probably the most important in the church?
As I say, this is something we're going to have to drill down into, all of us, to theologically, spiritually work it out together. This is something which is ahead of us. So I can't say yay or nay now to this. What Pope John Paul II, he's already given a directive on this. But the important thing all the time is that this synodal moment, this synodal process is addressing serious questions. One of which you mentioned is this. It is a serious challenge for us that we have no priests. Now, that's, however, also true in other churches that have women ministers. So we can't simply say it would be a solution. And I don't think, in fairness to women, that it should be seen simply as a solution issue. We've got to see women's own dignity, genius, whatever word you want to use, for its specific contribution. And that has to be increased. We know that. That is true. But that is something which we're, as I say, together having to work out synodally. But you're right, there are serious issues for us. And that one of them is, in certainly all of Western Europe, the issue of the lack of priests. But you could put it across the board, the lack of vocations in general.
It's not just priests. Those other areas are struggling as well, and brothers and nuns, if we could put it that way. But when
Absolutely.
It comes to LGBTI plus, as it is described in this survey, 85% of those surveyed expressed concern at church exclusion, attitudes and language. You cannot deny that the church has excluded people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. They feel hugely excluded by the Catholic Church. They cannot get married in the Catholic Church. They are effectively told that they are immoral and that they have no place according to church teaching. You can understand why people feel excluded, but it appears that those in the church now agree that more should be done to include them. How do you do that?
welcoming inclusion is absolutely something we've heard in this synodal process. Now, I mean, I have had letters myself from people who are gay or in the LGBT world who say to us, look, I actually have felt excluded. All I want is that we bring this out more into the life of the church. Then within that, the question of the how is what you're saying. I think that has come up through this synodal process. We need to know how to do it. We need to know how to be more inclusive in a way that people feel welcomed. That is, yeah, that is certainly, we've heard that.
Brendan Leahy, one of the challenges for you as a bishop is to bring the people with you. There is a sense that those now who are pushing change in the Catholic Church are getting a lot of resistance from people who have become more dogmatic in interpretation of religion. And as a result, we will see fault lines. Those who will be Catholic but who will want women priests, who will want inclusion of people who are gay in the way the church works, but that their voices will be drowned out by the dogmatic approach of others to say that, no, we go harder, we oppose more, we object more to these liberal teachings. How do you manage that?
Well, you manage it by trying our best to propose this synodal process, the journey together. Because in a way, what we try to avoid in both cases, I suppose, is a dogmatic approach on both sides, we have to say. In other words, both sides would say they have a version of the Catholic religion that is the version. Now, at the end of the day, we have always said in the Catholic Church, this is in our theology, that it's the Holy Spirit ultimately is guiding the church. We have to listen to everybody, but we also have different perspectives, roles that come out in the life of the church. When there's people studying, there's people who are prophetic, there are people who are bishops, so they've carried them, their gift. So there's all different voices in the symphony, and we have to make sure the whole symphony is actually having its being heard. And that's the important thing for us now. Not one or not just simply the loudest instruments or the most, as you would put it, dogmatic, although I think dogmatic is on both sides, that those instruments alone cannot be heard.
Well, yeah, their dogmatism is something that everyone can preach, no matter what their opinion. Final question for you, Bishop, and you've been very careful in choosing your language so far, which I understand because of the nature of this particular process. But if God spares you and the rules change, would you be comfortable and happy to ordain a woman as a priest?
I have been. Anybody who knows me knows that I have greatly been influenced by major significant women in the life of the church. That is something for me which has always been important. Whatever the church understands and moves ahead with, for instance, we do know Pope Francis at the moment has a commission on the whole question of the ordination of deacons. So whatever comes out of that, I will go along with.
But not priests?
That is, as I say, something that John Paul II has already indicated as a directive. So that's something that I take as a directive from John Paul. But that does not, therefore, exclude much greater study of the whole visibility, role, place of women, not just in decision-making, but in prophetic, you know, presence in the life of the church. The snag is this, we've really reduced the church to Mass on Sunday. That's a major snag. The church is much vaster.
I appreciate it, and it always has been, particularly in this country, for good and bad. And I'm trying to be as respectful as I can in asking the question. There are those who are listening now who will hear opposition from you to the idea of a woman being ordained a priest, and it is a personal question, and forgive me for asking it. Would you ordain a woman a priest if it was cleared by Rome to do that?
For me, that isn't the issue. The issue is that Pope John Paul has given a directive on this.
But you respect Pope John Paul? He died some time ago, and we have two popes since.
I'm not the church. I'm not the overall church. Certainly.
But if they gave you permission to do it, would you do it?
I'm a son of the church, and whatever the church indicates to me, I will do. Of course I will do. I am absolutely great, and anybody who knows me, esteem for women. That it isn't for me a question about simply about women being lesser or something like that. That's not the issue for me. The issue is that women are probably greater, and there's a greater role, and that's what we have to discover, and that's what I want to do.
All right. Bishop of Limerick, Brendan Leahy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this morning and talking us through some of that survey from that synodal pathway, as it is described. Let's bring in our two other guests, Father Tony Flannery from the Association of Catholic Priests and Sarah McDevitt, who is a mother of three as well. Sarah, good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning.
You were listening to what Bishop Leahy has said there. Look, there is an appetite for change, it would appear, amongst the members, the flock, if we can call them that, in Ireland. Tell me, you were raised a Catholic, were you?
Yeah, very much so. Raised a Catholic, you know, religion was a very important part of my family and father. In fact, my own father did study to become a priest and eventually become a priest, but it did form a large part of my family life, and events surrounding the family would have involved a lot of religion, certainly, yeah.
And have you felt more distance from the Catholic Church as you grew older, as your life moved on, and as life intervened, if I could put it that way?
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's interesting hearing the bishop talk there. Like, one of my earliest memories of exclusion, before I would even have, you know, identified as understanding my own sexuality, was understanding that I couldn't be an altar girl, because that's not something girls were. The local parish priest was absolutely not. No girls are going to be altar servers. So there was an awareness quite early on that there was, you know, that the church only wanted involvement in certain ways. And then as I grew up and listened to sermons and listened to readings, over time, I realized that this was not a place that I was going to be welcome. And it actually was not a place. And I think that there was a lot of LGBT people who are Catholic. They want to be involved in religion. They're willing to, I think, they're some of the most forgiving people in the world. They're willing to forgive some of the way they're treated. But for the most part, the Catholic Church is not a good place for gay people to be in terms of their own mental health. It leads to a lot of issues, self-loathing, and feeling like they don't belong.
Yeah, you forgive me for putting it this way, but you're blocked twice from becoming a priest, even if you wanted to be, because you are a woman and you are also a member of the LGBT community.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the question I wanted to ask the bishop there. Would you ordain a gay woman? But that would have been,
well,
been
I was starting with ordain a woman at all. I didn't quite get as far as I would have expected there.
I mean, I think the thing is, right, I'm not at all surprised by this survey, in the sense that Irish society has moved on a lot. And one of the things traditionally, I think, that would have been around this in general was the fear of the unknown, right? And I think, like, the marriage equality referendum, the more like public conversation around things like this have removed fear, and have people know more about each other, and there's more acceptance there. And the thing that I always struggle with is, you know, the bishop is making it sound like rocket science there in terms of what needs to be done. What needs to be done is, very simply, there needs to be acceptance and a simple change. And I think it's particularly, I think, interesting during Pride Month, when you look at corporations who are able to incorporate inclusivity and diversity in a corporate setting, for people to feel like they belong. And something that, you know, is as old as time, that has a general teaching around love and acceptance, and much of the Bible is related to that, can't bring themselves to accept difference and to welcome it in and celebrate it. I find that incredibly bizarre.
Tony Flannery, there is a groundswell of support amongst Catholics. I, just based on my 46 years of experience on this planet and having been raised as a Catholic, I don't think it matters, does it?
Oh, I think it does, Jonathan. I'm actually quite surprised and delighted with this development. And I think maybe an important point to make, Jonathan, people are referring to this as a survey. It was actually a much deeper process than that. It was a whole series of discussions and reflections going on right around the country for months. So there was a lot of deep thought put into this. So in that sense, it's much more a serious process than just a survey. And some of it is quite remarkable. I mean, Jonathan, for me, I was suspended 10 years ago for saying things that tomorrow in Athlone, and I'm attending the meeting, are going to be said officially from the platform with the bishops present. So that's big change as far as I'm concerned, and I am hopeful.
You've talked about the deep thought that has been put into this. And yes, I suppose, given it's a 2,000-year-old organisation, it is slow to change. But is it sometimes a little too deep, that thought, that the reality that most people see about the future of the church, the lack of priests, the disconnection from what has been a change in societal views, you're thinking about it too much, and as a result, moving too slowly.
Well, that's true, and there was something about Bishop Leahy's interview that depressed me a bit, and made me concerned about what will happen tomorrow. Like, on three occasions, he referred to Pope John Paul and John Paul's prohibition on the ordination of women. Now, I think to put that as a dogmatic stance against the widely expressed views of the Irish Catholic people is very unhelpful the day before this gathering in Athlone. So I wish he hadn't said that, because those sorts of views tend to stifle and destroy open discussion.
What do you hope will come out of this, Tony? I mean, I remember interviewing you 10 years ago when you were suspended, and the impact that that had on you personally, and not only that, but also the other members of the Association of Catholic Priests in Ireland, that fear that if you spoke out, somehow you'd get into trouble. That fear is lifted now, but you're 10 years older, and the Church has lost a lot of people in the intervening period. So
indeed,
how hopeful are you that this is going to bring about a change that will have a meaningful impact?
It's hard to say. At the base of all of this is Pope Francis, because this is a Pope Francis idea, this whole synodal process. And it's actually a very radical idea, Jonathan, because what Francis is trying to do is to give a voice to the people. Now, in the structure that for centuries and centuries has been completely authoritarian, with all decisions made at the top level, Francis is trying to turn this upside down and let decisions be made at all levels with all voices being heard. Now,
okay,
you can't get much more radical than that. Whether it will work, I don't know, but it has come on a lot faster than I would have expected 10 years ago. And I'll be sitting
but it
there
could,
tomorrow.
But with due respect, Pope Francis, we don't know how long he will be there. There is talk of retirement. And the fella coming in after him may be more JP2 than Francis.
Exactly. That's the big question, Jonathan. And the next conclave for the selection of the next pope is going to be one hell of a battle between the traditionalists and the ones who are calling for change how that works out. We hope that the Holy Spirit will get a voice in this one, but I'd say she might have difficulty. The Church is in a real state of crisis. There's a real battle going on for the future of the Church, and the process in Ireland is very much part of that whole international struggle that's going on. As I said, Jonathan, it has moved much faster than I would have expected it to, and I'm delighted about that, and I'm hoping that now, at this stage, positions that I argued for 10 years ago that are now going to be coming out officially from the platform tomorrow, that somewhere, somebody in authority will get sense and say that this time I was let back into ministry, because it's utterly ridiculous that I would be suspended from ministry now at this stage.
Are you still actually not able to practice, Tony?
Oh, I'm still not able to practice. Nothing has changed there. There was no time limit on my suspension. They're waiting for me to die, Jonathan.
It's a lot more for you, Tony Flannery, than it is for others.
Yeah, and that's... I suppose it is, but ultimately what happens to me is of very little relevance. The important thing is that this process begun by Francis and very much coming through now in the Irish Church, that it bears fruit and that it's not blocked by authorities quoting old doctrines.
Tony Flannery from the Association of Catholic Priests, thank you so much for joining us. Sarah McDevitt as well, LGBT activist, and before that, Bishop of Limerick, Brendan Leahy. That meeting takes place tomorrow.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.